Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for A Call to Decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, the 23rd day of September 2020. Welcome to tonight's program. We're so glad you're with us. We got a very special guest. We'll bring up in just 1 second. I'm going to skip through all the commercials tonight because our guest may only get to stay half an hour, and I want to bring him up and let him get in what he wants to talk to you about, folks. And I hope you pay close attention. I'm excited about having this guest on. I'll tell you why in a minute. Just want to make one announcement. Tomorrow is Thursday. And you know, I try to be in the office on Thursday to take phone calls. We'll be in the office from 9 to 4 all day tomorrow to take phone calls, answer questions. Maybe if I can witness to you. And folks, I tell you, please understand when I say this. You listen to this broadcast and you don't know what it's like to be born again. You don't know what it's like to serve Christ. Don't be shy to call me tomorrow. Ask questions. I want to help. If you have a need, let me know. Please. You can call us at 800-777-4403. Or if you have long distance, you can call 304-846-4448. Being off all day tomorrow, like I said, take phone calls. Now, without any further ado, we're going to go to our guest tonight. This gentleman is Pastor Carter Condon. He's pastor at Times Square's Church in New York. He's a pastor now where Pastor David Wilkerson used to be. Now, if anybody's ever followed David Wilkerson, you know he's a man of God that preached the way it is. And Pastor Condon is going to share some information tonight, and he's going to talk about something he has planned for the 6th of October. Something very, very, very vitally important to this country. Now, folks, I say this from the bottom of my heart, and I'm going to say it very clearly. If America does not repent now, America is damned. I'm just saying it like it is. We don't have but a few weeks left, I do believe, before God says it's enough is enough. And I know that in my spirit, and I think you do too. So I'll let Pastor Condon tell me about what he's going to do, and he'll be by himself. And Pastor Condon, it's an honor to have you tonight, my friend.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you, Pastor. Appreciate the opportunity.
You know, you stepped in some big shoes. You stepped in where David Wilkerson used to stand. I never met the man personally, but I listened to some of his messages, and he had a heart for God. It was unbelievable. He really had a desire to do what's right and try to turn this country around. He did it for so many years, and, you know, I almost envy him. He got to go home before I did. But anyway, You stepped into a big job. But I want to share with people a little bit about who you are, Pastor. And tell some of your story, then we'll get into what you have planned on the 6th.
Well, I was born in Canada. I was Canadian. I came here in 1994 to work with David Wilkerson. He invited me. He had heard a tape of a message I had preached a couple of years before. Then Leonard Ravenhill gave it to him and said, "You need to listen to this." And he ended up calling me, asking me if I'd come in on a Tuesday, and that was in May of 1994, and by August of the same year, I was here in New York full-time, to help him, to work as his associate, and then I was appointed senior pastor in 2001. And I'm now, as of a few months ago, the general overseer of Times Square Church. The ministry has significantly grown. We have a Bible college out in Pennsylvania. We have conferences. We have a radio program. We have a lot of things going on. So, I am traveling a little bit. So, I'm taking on the role of the overseer of the church and brought in another senior pastor, Tim Delina, a wonderful man of God, and who is actually the son. If you've read The Cross and the Switchblade or seen the movie The Cross and the Switchblade, Tim Delina is the son of the police officer who, when somebody told David Wilkerson to get off the box and he's not allowed to preach in New York, he was the police officer who said, no, let the man speak. And
So this
is his son, who's actually pastoring Times Square Church, who wasn't born then, obviously. That was so this is it's quite a full circle to have his son actually pastoring the church that may not have even happened. I mean, realistically, if that first police officer's word had stood, David Wilkerson wouldn't have preached that day, and Nikki Cruz wouldn't have heard the gospel. I mean, you just have to realize what would have happened, you know? And
there was a sovereign God in charge, brother. There's a sovereign God in charge. There
totally,
really was.
Totally.
I mean, totally in charge. And that's why we have to keep remembering, folks, he is sovereign, and his will be done. It's our duty to serve him, not him to serve us. Please understand that. And by the way, I'm going to say this before we move on. Times Square Church is a huge church, my friends. It really is. And a lot of the larger churches I've seen have drifted away from the scriptures. But knowing Pastor David Wilkerson is from what, following his writings and his sermons, and knowing now Pastor Condon, I know this church is staying the course for Christ and is trying to make a difference for this country. So, again, it's an honor to have you, Pastor Condon. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the prayer meeting in Plymouth and how that started. My wife and I, in August 2019, were coming home from vacation in eastern Canada. And she had been reading a book on the Mayflower, and she'd asked me, she said, can we stop on the way home? I'd like to see this site called Plymouth Rock, which is purported at least to be the place where the pilgrims in 1620 first set foot on American soil in that part of the country. And so I agreed. I said, okay, let's go there. We'll go see it. And, you know, above the colonnade where this stone is held, there's a hill, and on top of the hill there's a bench. So we were sitting on this bench, and suddenly I heard somebody call my name. And I turned, and she said, she told me that she and her husband and her mom and dad and about four other people had been praying with us in our worldwide prayer meeting here at Times Square Church every Tuesday night for about 2 years. And she said, my mom and dad own the house on the corner. Would you like to see it? Now, I initially declined. I said, well, we're on our way home, and we're busy. And but the house was built on this lot in 1790, and my wife is a history buff.
Wow.
And she said, I'd really like to see that house. So we went to the house.
I don't blame her. But you haven't heard
the whole story yet. We met the people who now own the house that is built on the very foundation of the very first house built in America in that part of the country. It was a house that they built in 1620, and it was the house in which the 51 surviving pilgrims of the 104 that landed prayed. They were weak. They had no real go-ahead strategy. They had no resources. They were surrounded by enemies. The only thing they had left was a promise from God that they were being led to a land where they could worship Him according to His word and according to conscience. Now, the man who owns the house and his wife, he was a construction company owner, and the Lord told him 2 years before this moment to sell his company, go to Plymouth, buy this house, and wait. So in obedience to God, he did that. And while he was waiting, he joined us in New York City, as I said, on Tuesday night to pray with Times Square Church in our prayer meeting, which is in 209 countries now. And they joined us, and they began to pray. And about 2 months before we met, he prayed and said, Lord, would you make a way that I can meet this man? And, of course, 2 months later, I'm sitting on a bench about 30 yards from his house.
What a coincidence, and, huh? What a coincidence.
So we walked into the house, and there was an undeniable presence of God in the house. You can't make this up. God's presence was there. And all I could say to him is, can we pray? Now, keep in mind, now, this is where the 51 pilgrims met. It's where the treaty with the Wampanoag Indians was signed back at that time. It's in the front yard of this house is where the first Thanksgiving in America was held.
Oh, so it has a
phenomenal history. There are actual diagrams of the drawings that were done in that season that depict this first Thanksgiving. So we just gathered and we prayed, and I felt so stirred by the Spirit of God that I went back to my hotel that night. And I couldn't sleep. And in the middle of the night, I just began to pray and said, God, why did you lead me to this house? This is obviously a divine appointment. You led this man and his wife to buy this house. They didn't even know why. You told them to wait. It's been 2 years. You led me here. And it was at this point that the Lord opened to my heart the books in the Old Testament of 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and chapter 7. I'll try to make this real quick for you.
Don't be in a hurry. Take your time. We've got plenty of time.
Okay. In chapter 6, Solomon is dedicating the temple. The temple, of course, is God's presence, God's promise of the future for the nation. These were to be a people set apart for him. He promised to be their God. He promised to be in their midst. And when Solomon was dedicating the temple, he prayed a prayer, a specific prayer, among other things. But here's what he said. He said, Lord, if your people are essentially deal carelessly with you and are taken captive in a place near or far, and in the place that they're taken captive, they come to themselves. They basically have a change of heart, conscience. And they pray towards this place. Solomon said, hear their prayer, have mercy, and bring them home. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but anybody can read it for themselves in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now, Solomon goes home, essentially goes to bed, and in the middle of the night, in chapter 7, the Lord God himself appears to Solomon. And he said, I've heard your prayer. And if I have to send pestilence or blight, or if there's an enemy that rises up in your land, that's where the famous verse comes. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Then he says, now my eyes and my ears will be open to the prayers that are prayed in this place, and my heart will be there perpetually. In other words, if you stray from me, God said to the people, I will be here waiting for you. And so the Lord spoke to me that night and said, I want you to come back to the place where America spiritually began, and I want you to ask for forgiveness for what you did as a society with the 400 years of freedom that I gave you. And I want you to, after you confess, I want you to ask me for a moment of mercy. It was that clear. So what makes this prayer meeting a little different than others is that God has called this prayer meeting. This is not man's idea. I didn't even know this house existed. I had no idea it was, I didn't know this part of history even. God's idea.
I'm listening to you share this, and the odds of happening, you being on the bench just when they happen to be there and recognize you. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty rare. That's the high odds against that already. And then, but for you to just be there, I mean, I'm just going through my head that this was a sovereign plan. Praise God for this. This is remarkable. And by the way, folks, this is the 400th year of the landing of the pilgrims at Plymouth. That this year makes 400 years, 1620 to 2020. And we had at one time the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. Because we were trying to do is in mass, just to do. We've kind of thrown that away over the last several years, last several decades, and now it's our turn to repent or perish. It's just that easy. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, what makes this also unusual? I was thinking of in the book of Ezekiel. God showed Ezekiel that the nation had become rotten from the top to the bottom. There was bribery, there was corruption, there was a crooked religion that was enabling all of this. The people were using oppression one with another. They were vexing the poor and the stranger and the fatherless. And the Lord, but then in the midst of it all, the Lord says these words. He said, "And I sought for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge."
Yes.
So
yes.
That I should not have to judge the nation. And so here's an incredible thing in history. God decides to show mercy and is looking for somebody to agree with him. And, you know, the end of that passage of Scripture says, and he could find no one. I mean, the most religious nation on the face of the earth, and there was not a single person that could hear the voice of God. There's not a single person who would believe that God could show mercy in the midst of the blatant corruption that had just literally, like leaven, gotten into the whole society. But God had decided to show mercy. And this is what I feel in my heart this prayer meeting is about. It's a mercy moment. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean America won't be judged at some point. A mercy moment is about souls. It's about eternity. It's about people finding Christ the Savior. It's about a call of God. It's about the presence of the Holy Spirit just simply calling people to Christ. Because ultimately, this is not about necessarily saving a physical place. It's about souls, people. And if God has to give us an extra 30 years or 40 years to do that, then so be it. But I have to believe in my heart that this is something divine. And there's something in the heart of God, or he wouldn't bother. If he was just going to blatantly Amen. Judge us, he wouldn't call this meeting. It's that simple.
He's given us a choice. He truly is. And all through the scriptures, Deuteronomy 20 and other places, he said, "You choose you this day." You know, Joshua chooses this day who you're going to serve. He's given us a choice, friends and family. He's given us a choice of what we're going to do. Repent or continue on our way. And this prayer meeting on October 6th is a powerful time. And I ask, folks, this will be from 7 to 9 on October 6th. Now, you know I'll be on the radio show tonight from 8 to 9. But I'm asking everybody out there to please join this prayer meeting. If you can't be there, do it in your house. Try to fast that day. October 6th, mark it down. Try to fast that day. This is do or die. Brother, I'm not a doom and gloomer, but I tell you that our God is a righteous God. And I just read last night in, my mind's going blank, Isaiah 18, where it says, "The nations, you know, the term for me, I'll destroy, but if they repent, I'll heal them." And that's what he wants to do. He wants to heal this land. But first, we have to do our part and ask him to forgive us for the things that we've allowed to happen, either through apathy or maybe in full participation in it. I hope not, but it can happen. But we need to ask for forgiveness as a group of people that are his people. He didn't say for the heathen to repent necessarily. He said, "My people will call upon me and ask for forgiveness." So, folks, I hope you're taking this very seriously, because in my spirit, I know that we're in for a rough ride ahead if something doesn't change soon. Go ahead, Brother Condon.
Well, it's just, and I'm the Lord has asked me to confess the sins of America, and he's told me to be specific. Don't be generic. I'll give you an example. It's only one of the examples, but he gave those early settlers freedom. He gave American society freedom to worship, to not be dictated to from above as to what they could say or not say, freedom of conscience, which is really the bedrock, in the sense of, or at least it has been, of this society. And we took that freedom and we enslaved a whole race of people in America. And, you know, and the worst of it all is that in some parts of the country, not all, but in some parts of the country, we did this in the name of God. I can't think of a deeper ignorance than doing something like enslaving a people and doing it in God's name. I was reading Frederick Douglass's biography, and, you know, Frederick Douglass talked about being on a plantation, and his slave owner came home night after night, and he was talking about the great revival that was happening in the church in town and how people were being touched of the Holy Spirit. And then Frederick, at 4 years of age, watched the same man beat his mother almost to death, hanging her by the rafter from her hands for failing to some little task she was given, like I think it was get the flour or something like that. And he curled up in the corner, terrified as a little boy, and came to the conclusion that this man's God can't possibly be God. Now, we know that changed later on, and he became not only a follower of Christ, but he became a great abolitionist, a great statesman. But this is part of the wounding, in a sense, that's still bleeding in our society. society today, and I'm of the opinion, Pastor, that only God can heal it now. The wound is too deep. There's no discussion we're going to have in a town hall that's going to ever change this. This is what's causing our society in measure to fracture right at the seams.
Amen.
And, we've got to be honest about it.
We have to repent, and I share this because I had this gentleman on our broadcast within a week or so. There's a gentleman, a policeman in Wynn, Arkansas, named DeAndre Warren, who prays at the flagpole at a church where he's a guard every day for the nation, for the children. He prays for him, and I was so touched by his story, I called the department today, and I asked him to please ask him if I could speak to him and thank him for what he's done. Well, within 5 minutes, DeAndre had called me. We had a fantastic conversation, brother. I said, you know, don't you wish that everyone out there, no matter what color they are, would understand that we can live in peace in Christ? We can prosper in Christ. We can have a joyous nation and society in Christ. And he was right on board with you and I. He can see that we as a nation need to repent. We can heal the wounds can be healed, but not with our own balm. We can't do it on our own. It's got to be done by our Creator, by our God.
Well, that's the absolute truth. I mean, we need a spiritual awakening. We need to get back to the house of God, back to the ways of God. And, you know, in Acts chapter 4, for example, when the church was being persecuted, the scripture says they prayed. And when they prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken. They were filled with the Spirit of God. And then you'll see an immediate benevolence. Immediately they start looking away from themselves and start looking to how they can make life better for somebody else. And that is a direct fruit of the presence of God in somebody's life.
Amen.
Is that we are changed from being self-focused to others-focused.
We esteem others higher than ourselves.
Yes, we do. And I know what I'm talking about. I was a police officer for 12 years.
Oh, really?
I was stone cold and before I came to Christ. I mean, I could go to an accident scene. I could draw shock lines around bodies all over the pavement and just go and eat my lunch. I didn't care. I was as cold as and dead as a grave. When I came to Christ at the age of 24, you know, line by line, little by little, step by step, the compassion of Christ started to come into my heart, and I started to care about people that I didn't care about before. I even found myself in a prison of 700 sex offenders preaching the forgiveness that's available to all through Jesus Christ. God took me into places I could never have gone in my own strength with a heart that honestly wasn't my own. It was His. And so I know what He can do. I know it personally.
Amen. That's beautiful. And it's beautiful. But, you know, the sins you're going to, I know you have a lot more sins to enumerate when you went to this prayer meeting. I mean, my goodness, I mean, we've turned our back on God and from the top to the bottom to top. Most of the churches are lukewarm at best. And as I said many times, it's not the heathen's fault, the nations that it shapes in. It's the church's fault for not standing for Christ. But, you know, we're talking about sodomy and lesbianism and abortion and how many more massive abomination that we've done before God. So there's a lot of repentance that needs to be done, is there not?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, from the top to the bottom. But, you know, there are moments throughout history where the Spirit of God has come down into towns, places. I actually met a man one time. I was praying at Leonard Ravenhill's home, and I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he invited me to his home, and I was praying in his home with him, and he had two men that came to pray with him every week, and they were all in their late 80s, middle to late 80s. And this is quite a few years ago. At this time, I was in my 30s, in my late 30s. And this particular man talked about a time, and I wish I would have asked him what town it was, but he said he was 8 years old, and he was in school when the Spirit of the Lord fell on his town. And he said everybody in his classroom started crying. He said they had to dismiss the school. They went out into the street. People were standing there, staring into space, everyone under the conviction of God. And people just began making their way to the local churches, and they began to pray. And he started to cry out, and he said, oh, God, I've seen it. Do it again, Lord. I've seen it. Do it again.
Amen.
It was an amazing moment for me personally to be with three men that would really be prophets of God. And to actually meet a man who had actually lived through a moment where there was a genuine God-induced revival. revival that came into a town. So I have hope that this is the only way we can be healed now.
It's the only hope we have. It's the only hope we have. The only avenue we have. It's the only one that's left to us, brother, is repentance before Almighty God and healing from Him. You know, you said in your note here that this is a do or die moment, and it is.
Yes.
It could be America's last chance.
Well, if we don't respond to this chance, there's a darkness ahead of us that you and none of us want to be there or see it.
There's a
season of poverty and violence and incivility. We're going to turn into Sodom. I have little doubt about it.
We're almost there now. Almost there now.
Well, yes, we are, and it's heartbreaking to see it. And, of course, that's where humanity without God always goes. They always strip their clothes off, bend a calf, and they dance around it. That's biblical history.
As Proverbs says, the people that hate God love death. But, you know, I'm not going to ask your age, but I'm 72 years old, and I've seen this nation change in my lifetime unbelievably. And it wasn't perfect when I was youngin', but it was so much closer to being what it should be even then. But I watched it gradually change, and I'm saying this out of love, not of any kind of malice at all, but I watched the church accept the change. There's a song up by a group called the McCameys back in the 80s entitled Getting Used to the Dark. The church has gotten used to the dark as a whole. We've accepted or compromised with evil to the point we no longer have the ability to discern between good and evil. As Paul wrote in Hebrews 5 and 6, we need to be able to discern between the two and move on beyond that. And you're doing something now with a rather large congregation and your fellowship, not to mention the ones around the world. On October 6th from 7 to 9, you're going to pray before God. And folks, I ask you to please, for God's glory and for the sake of your children and grandchildren, try to join him in this prayer. Join all of us. I'm going to do my best from 7 to 8 to do the praying because I'll be on the radio from 8 to 9. But I want so much to see this move of God come. So much I want to see this. I'm repenting my heart right now. My heart almost want to cry, brother, because I feel the burden. I feel the burden that God's put on you. And I admire you, and I want to tell you I respect you for what you're doing. You're taking a huge stand here. And how are you being received? I mean, are people anxious to join you there?
Well, yes. I mean, just even on my own Facebook page, we've had 1.1 million people come in already in the last 28 days.
Praise God.
To get information on this prayer meeting. I've done interviews with radio stations all over the country. People are all in everywhere. I think because there's a realization, as you say, that without a move of God, we're finished. And you don't even have to argue the point. Everybody knows it now.
I haven't met
a single person out there that has optimism about the future if God is not in it.
Amen.
Now people can go to It's Time to Pray. It's all one word, lowercase. It'stimetopray.org and get information on the prayer. And they can actually see an interactive map of where people who wanted to have registered on our website from all over the world.
Hang on through this break, brother. Hang on through the break. We'll finish that announcement, okay? Hang on through the break, please, all right?
Sure.
Folks, back at the break, if you want to call and talk to Brother Conlon, you can. 844-769-2944. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Strobel Foods, the only Strobel food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best store-bought foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Namana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield.
We've got an hour to come in. I'll get the phone calls them in. I promise. We'll get to Errol and Jan, all of you, at 844-769-2944. We'll go back to our guest, Brother Conlon. We were discussing during the break, folks, and we have some good talks during the break sometimes. Sorry y'all can't hear them. About what just happened in California just a week or so ago when Governor Newsom signed a new law that you can have sex with a child as long as that child is no more than 10 years younger than you. What that's saying is if you're 20 years old, you can have sex with a 10-year-old, boy or girl. Or if you're 25, 15, or whatever it may be. So this is law in California now. And brother, I know we were just discussing that, but I don't hold you are, but would you ever dream in your wildest dreams that we would see this become legalized in America?
No, I didn't. I've only been here, I don't know, it's 27 years now, and I never thought I'd ever live to see anything like this. I mean, it is gut-wrenching when you see sin on parade like this and you realize where this is going to go. I mean, it's better in the scriptures not to have known the truth than to have known it and turned from it, because there's a depth of deprivation that comes into a society that turns from God. Like this, I'd like to give you, Pastor, if I can, just where people can access this prayer meeting.
No, please do. Yes, please do. Yes, yes.
Yes, they can go to It's Time to Pray, all one word, all lowercase. It'sTimeToPray.org, and there's all information on the prayer meeting on that, or on the actual event, just to our website at TSC, as in Times Square Church, .NYC, as in New York City. So TSC. NYC, and it'll bring you right into our main site or main website and our worldwide prayer meeting that actually does go on every week at 7 to 9, except for October 6th, it will be from Plymouth. So we'll also be streaming into New York as well, and people will be Skyping in. We'll have somebody from Washington as well. And people will be coming and praying from every walk. We say from senators to single moms. We'll be praying for every facet of our society, our kids in our schools, our homes, our families, our marriages, morality. After confessing our sins, we're just going to ask God for mercy for the days ahead.
Well, folks, I know Brother Conlon feels this also. We are now at a crossroads. We are at a precipice that we just can't ignore. If we take one more step, we're going over. We've got to make a move now on our knees before God. With heartfelt repentance, sorrow, and disgust with what we've allowed in this country. Disgusting guilt that should be in our hearts right now before God. Asking to please help us individuals clean our own lives up and then reach out to others. That's what this prayer meeting is all about, folks. House cleaning got to start with your own house first. I'm talking about Pastor Butch Paul also, and I'm sure Brother Conlon admits the same thing. We start with ourselves,
yes,
and then reach out to others.
Yes.
We have to do that. And so let's take a phone call before we run out of time, because I know you got to leave pretty soon. But brother, again, I am so honored for you to join us tonight and to share your testimony and to bring this to people and to have the story you told about meeting this couple in Plymouth. And our God is guiding you through this. I know that. And I'm so pleased to be a part of this. This is a blessing to me beyond words. Let's go to Ariel in Maryland. Ariel, come on in.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. I want to say this. Slavery is not a sin. Poor, dumb God forgot to make slavery a sin. The Negroes in this country have benefited from slavery. They've gone from the very abject all the way up to the White House. So what you're preaching now is Marxism, not Jesus Christ.
Well, I know what you're saying, and I see your point. But again, the mistreatment of any other individual can never be justified. I mean, justified to hang them, to kill them, and whatever. That's not justifiable. That is not justifiable, Ariel. It is not. I have to say, you're right. They benefited financially in all different ways coming here. But to mistreat them is not right for anyone. I don't care if it's black, white, or pink, or purple. But I know what you're saying. But anyway, I thank you for the call and for sharing that thought with us. Thank you. And any comments on that, Brother Conlin?
Oh, well, his remarks are like saying, I beat you up, but I put $20 in your pocket before I left, and you were bleeding on the sidewalk. You should be happy.
Yeah, I understand what, I see his point. I mean, I do, but you mistreating any other individual is not right. You know, as I talked to the brother today, the black police officer from Wynn, Arkansas, I said, you know, if Christ were in our heart, we wouldn't have race wars. We wouldn't have to, you know.
Of course not. But in New York City here, we have 104 cultures in one church. I mean, we've got people here in this congregation whose countries have been at war, and they love each other. They walk together in unity. It is really a beautiful thing to behold it. When Christ is the center core of our worldview, when we've come to Him for forgiveness and begin to realize that. We are now part of a people called the body of Christ, and we're commanded to love one another. You know, the scripture says, "He who doesn't love his brother doesn't know God, for God is love." It's just really that simple. You know, so people who try to justify hate in the name of God, I mean, are so far outside of the kingdom that sometimes they just can't even be reached, really, with that kind of logic.
The only thing we're commanded to hate is evil if we're going to live righteous, and that's a fact. But anyway, what else would we see in missionaries to other countries if other races cannot be led to Christ? Let's not get in the idea that I'm better than anybody else. I'm not better than anybody else. I know who I am in Christ,
right.
But I'm just a mere mortal. Let's go next to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in.
Hello. I wanted to tell you and to remind you that Jonathan Kahn also has a big prayer meeting going on this weekend in New York City.
Yeah, I've been trying to get hold of him.
Okay, yeah. Go to the return.org, and it'll tell you about what's going on.
Return.org,
that's
okay, thank you.
In Washington. Yeah, return.org.
Okay.
Yeah. We can do our own. Pray together on Wednesday.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have your show, but we can also do that live.
We sure can, and we can do that. I can pray for an hour before getting the radio also, because this is, Jan, I do believe, as Brother Conlin said, this is do or die.
This is God calling his people, his final call.
I agree. Didn't
go back to the beginning, to where we started, without having a purpose. This is his call. This is his final call, telling us to repent. Because this is it.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, Jan, good call, and thanks for being there. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sweet lady. Okay. Folks, the line's open, 844-769-2944, 844-769-2944. I've been trying to get a hold of Jonathan for the last couple of weeks. I can't seem to find him to do a broadcast discussing his issues. As you know, you can come up with another book entitled The Harbinger 2. You've heard about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Washington. I'm part of the steering committee for the return in Washington. I'll be speaking there on Saturday morning about 9:30. at the gathering. So I'm familiar with it. And Jonathan is a good man, and he's got a tremendous burden to see this nation repent and turn back to God. So we're seeing this on various levels. Franklin Graham is also going to be there at the same time, leading a prayer walk through the Capitol and praying for the government of the nation to and the nation itself to turn back to righteousness. So we're just seeing this groundswell of groaning, may I call it that, that's being raised up throughout the nation, saying, God, forgive us and give us another chance, in a sense, by if we'll come to you and acknowledge our sin, give us another chance to be a just society one more time, and recognizing there really is no plan this time. There's nothing we can put together that's going to make this happen. This has to be
very much
like the pilgrims. You know, there's only 51 of them. They're half dead, and they have a promise that God's going to give them a land. I mean, and so realistically, look at what God gave them. I mean, in their weakness, not in their strength, they had nothing, but having him, they had everything. And the fact that we're going to be on our knees on the same 100 by 100 patch of ground that they knelt on 400 years ago, and just saying, Lord, here we are again. Here we are again, surrounded by enemies. Here we are, God, we have no strength. We have no plan. There's nothing we can do to change this moment. It's too far gone. The wounds are too deep. The incivility, the immorality is too embedded. You have to come, Lord. And, of course, as he did it 400 years ago, he's very capable of doing it again. And to me, it's a phenomenal moment to be able to be back where they were in a similar situation, really, in saying, Lord, it's up to you now. You've got to defend your own name and let the promise of this nation just be realized for another season.
Well, you know, brother, we have built this nation on sand for several years now, and man's healing balm, if you will, that heals temporarily but never completely. We build on sand and put our trust in man for a lot of things, including their livelihoods and everything else. I mean, now we think the government has the power to tell churches they can't meet and all manner of situations that we've allowed to happen in this land. And now, as you said, is our chance to turn back to God, realizing that we have nowhere else to turn to. You said that we can't turn to government or anybody else to fix this problem. It's either God or nobody now. Nobody else can fix it. This has got to be done through him. And I think that's when a Christian is at his strongest is when he's at his weakest and knows he's helpless without God. I think that's when we can get the most done, when we get off our means of doing something and realize we're helpless and turn to the one who can change things. That in itself is a huge victory, if we just understand that.
Well, I just really hope that people take it seriously and come in and pray. All of the prayer meetings, like our sister said, the return in Washington, other prayer meetings that are happening in anywhere, in people's homes and churches, it's time to pray. There's nothing else that we can say now. It's time to pray. It's time to humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, in your mercy, grant to us one more, perhaps one final spiritual awakening before you come or before this nation is judged. We know, I mean, scripturally, the whole world is going to go into turmoil at some point. And just to say, God, just give us that moment of mercy. Give us that awakening. Give us that time when we can gather together and see this harvest of souls come into your kingdom. This, my friend, is my prayer. This is what I live my life for. This is what I'm believing God for. And I'm going to stand and do whatever he calls me to do.
Amen.
And just stand on the side of faith to say, God, if you're choosing to be merciful, I'm in. I'm with you. And, you know, my eyes might see something else, and my ears might hear something else, but God, your voice is more powerful than all of those things. And if you choose to show mercy, then count me in. I'm going to believe you. And that's really what this moment is going to be all about.
What I am sensing and hearing a lot of different areas now, that the people are starting to realize that we need to return around. And I'm talking about the church, especially. People that, like Brother Dana Coverstone, who's had some very vivid dreams that I know are going to happen if we don't repent. And he says himself, please pray that we're wrong. And he asked for September to be a month of fasting and prayer. So believe me, many people, I understand what you're saying, Brother Conlon, and they're already on their knees praying, asking our Father to hear our prayers, to please forgive us for our personal apathy and indifference over all these years. As I said before, the church is the one who dropped the ball, not the world. The church is put here to be light and salt. The church is here to spread the gospel. The church is here to occupy until he come. We haven't done that, and may God help us to return to him and ask for forgiveness for that sin first, then move on from there.
Yes, that's one of the things that we're going to be. There's a gentleman coming. He's a friend of mine from Washington, and he'll be praying this. God, give courage to our pulpits again. Give courage to the people of God again. Help us to get back to our focus, to stop living for ourselves and begin to realize that we're left here to continue the work of Christ in bringing the lost to him, making disciples, seeing the kingdom of God advance. Help us, you know, just to get away from our own pursuits and to reengage again with the work of God. So I want to thank you, Pastor, for having me tonight on this show. Unfortunately, I do have to go, but I thank you for having me on the show. And I wish you all the best in your endeavors. We're all in this together.
Yes,
we're all
are.
On the front lines, and we're going to believe God with all of our heart for a spiritual awakening in our generation. So if
well,
anybody
let me ask
out
you
there
one more
can...
Question for... I'm sorry, go
yeah.
ahead. Go ahead.
No,
one more
please,
question, please. Can you help me get in touch with Brother Jonathan Kahn somehow if I call your office?
Yeah, he's in Washington probably now because of the return, but I'll see him on Saturday morning. So I have
I'll
your
very much
here.
Like to have him on the radio show to share this information. I had him on
okay.
some years ago with his first book. We need to have him on again, the show with the Lord showing him too. Brother, this is our time. This is
yes,
our
it is.
Time. Either we
yes.
do it now or it won't get done.
Okay.
Just
well,
easy.
I'll have your information and I'll pass it on to him and we'll see. He'll if he feels a leading to, he'll be in touch with you, I'm sure. So,
well, God bless
but a real
you,
pleasure to talk with you. I love your heart.
You too.
Stand strong, and by God's grace, may we live to dance in the streets because only God could have done this. That's the cry of my heart.
Amen.
To say, God, only you could have
Amen.
Done this as we see sinner turn to saint. So God bless you.
God
love
bless
you.
You.
And thank you so
you
much
too.
For having me.
Keep the
Take
faith,
care,
my
now.
Friend. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, folks. Well, that's exciting. It really is. That's exciting. I mean, Sheriff Max having a constant sheriff meeting in Lynchburg this coming Wednesday. Chuck and I keep one. I can't remember his name. Has a radio show, SaveUSA.org. Is having a prayer meeting in Richmond. I think later this month, the 1st of October, and this prayer meeting going on in Plymouth. People are starting to get it. We cannot fix it on our own. We are helpless without God. I was going to get to Randy before the guest left. He had to go. Let's go to Randy in Georgia. Randy, come on in. Welcome.
I was hoping to ask him if he believed that one of the things we need to repent from is this practice that we have for the lesser of two evils. Because if we don't turn from that, we may as well just cancel his event.
I agree. I'm hoping that this revival, if we have Lord eyes have one, will show people this, Randy. I'm praying that our eyes will be open to see this. I know some people's eyes are finally getting open, but I'm going to tell you something, Randy. For years, I voted for lesser of evils because I thought that was a thing to do. I wasn't convicted of it until about, I don't know, three elections ago before I started realizing I'm sitting before my God. What I'm doing is voting for evil. I don't care if it's a little bit of leaven, a whole lot of leaven. I'm voting for evil. And I repent before my God.
All,
you know,
that's
so.
All well and good, but our focus needs to be on people that are still following
that's true. That's true, but that's what I'm saying.
No, because so as long as America continues to do that, we'll never have true repentance.
We have to pray that their eyes will be opened, as somebody did for me, obviously. So.
You know, 63 million people... In 2016, voted for Trump. If they would have voted for the Constitution Party, we wouldn't be in this country. Would already be in a big difference. It would be perfect,
yes.
But it would be a lot better than it is right now.
Well, now we're to the point where the only place we can turn is to God. We can't fix it. We know that. It's beyond being fixed by our powers or even by a politician. No matter who you vote for now, unless America repents, America's finished. And that's just the way it is. We've sinned too far without repentance to turn around. But good point, Randy. I agree with you completely.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is I sent you this question by email, but you haven't answered it yet. In Revelation, where it talks about if anybody adds to or takes away from the words of Scripture, that God will add to them the plagues and send them to hell. Would that not include the modern versions of the Bible, like the New American Standard, etc.?
It could. I mean, a lot of people are, again, not even that, but a lot of the newer versions, especially like the NIV, changed the word, left out 400 and some verses, took the blood out of the Bible, say, yes, It could.
Well, I can't speak for every one of them, but most of the modern ones, they seem to add to or take away from in one way or another. You know,
and so I just wonder
whether that verse would they run afoul of the verse. You know, like you've said for years, the only one that is authorized legitimate is the King James.
Well,
so
I don't know
it has nothing to do with the other ones.
I have a book here by and I'm sure you heard of her. As soon as I find the title, the name of her name, Gail Ripplinger, had a program years ago. She wrote a book entitled New Age Bible Version. She got a New Revised Version out. She covers the NIV, ESV, NKJV, NCV, NJB, all the Bibles just about the new version. She covers them and exposes the evil in them. So, yes, you're right on. Some of them are so weak they'll send somebody to hell and they won't even know that they're going that way.
I never met David Wilkerson, but I did go to some of his crusades back in the 70s, you know, and I read most of his books, you know, and I followed him until he passed away, you know, and I wish we had 100 more like him today, or we
Amen.
Wouldn't be in this mess.
Amen. All right, Randy, good call. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Very good call. Thank you. Good points. And folks, by that time of the night, this time goes by so quickly. Don't forget, we'll be in the office tomorrow. But I want to share with you, if I could, the last 5 minutes, something that was revealed to me today. I'll get more detail maybe in a later program. But I think I owe a lot of people an apology. I'm going to explain what I'm saying here. I finally was shown today a lot more in the direction that I've been called to do. You know, and the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 6, that God, the God that begins a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, till our time is up, he'll perform his work in us. I've been hindering the work a little bit in the fact that I think I've been holding back a little bit because I've been trying to make things different for other people and please people. I can't do that. I'm going to apologize to you off that. Maybe I didn't even know I was maybe even doing it. But I've decided that I'm going to go the way our Father asked us to do. Let the people decide what they want to do with it. That's totally a decision. I don't know what's in store for the ministry here, folks. We're paying the bills, but barely. We're still here, though. I don't know what's going to help or hurt the finances of this ministry, but I really don't care. I'm not really called any longer to be a pastor. I don't mind being called pastor. I've pastored for a lot of years, but I've come to the realization that I am an end-time preacher, so to speak, that has to tell the people just what Brother Conlon's saying. Repent or perish now. There are no more chances. We either do it now or we don't do it at all. And folks, the blame is not with Hillary Clinton. It's not with Obama. It's not with Trump. The blame for America's falling is in the church. It's in the church house, not the state house, courthouse, or anywhere else. It's in the church house. And more specifically, it's right at the foot of the pulpits in America where the so-called pastors and shepherds of Christ stand behind there every weekend morning, Saturday or Sunday. And Sunday, by the way, is not the Sabbath, but nonetheless, they stand there and preach what they call the Word of God, and they milk it down, they water it down, so people won't get mad at them. The blame is at the footsteps, at the doorstep of the church for America's demise. That's why his people have to repent and turn from their wicked ways so that he can heal the land. Many thousands are being called to repent and prayer, as you've already heard. I mean, Chuck Crismore, I believe, is the guy's name that has a program, and Dana Coverstone, and Jonathan Kahn, and now Pastor Conlon. Thousands of people are going to prayer, and I ask you all this month on Wednesdays to fast as much as you possibly can and pray. And on the 6th of next month, and the other day you won't do it, of course, but 6th next month, it was mentioned tonight, can we at least try to fast that day and seek God's face? Can we do that? And on the 6th, maybe we will have a prayer meeting right here on air. I'll let people call in and pray that want to pray with us. How would that be? How would that be for a change? On the 6th, the Lord willing, we'll have a prayer meeting. I think that's on a Tuesday, if I remember right. I look at the calendar. I don't have one for it now. I can see it. But the 6th, is on a Tuesday. On Tuesday night, the 6th, maybe we should have a prayer meeting on this broadcast. And for those out there who have the courage to pray in front of other people, who knows how many people listen? Tens of thousands of people around the world listen to this broadcast. Who knows who's going to hear you pray? But if you're not ashamed to pray publicly, let's do it on the 6th. I'll start with my own prayer. Let y'all join in that prayer, but I'm asking you to fast as much as you can between now and then. But definitely on the 6th. Oh my God in heaven, we need to repent, people. I do also. Lack of faith perhaps has held me back. Or maybe pride in a sense that I didn't want to do something that people would think less of me. I am telling you now that the blame is not with politics or politicians. It is with the church. Those who go into the buildings every weekend and proclaim to be believers in the Almighty God, but deny Him by their works and by their lives. What that boils down to be, my friends, are buildings full of hypocrites. Whitewashed sepulchers that are pretty on the outside, dead on the inside. Don't make a lot of people mad. I can't help it. It is what it is. I can name names. That's why I'm so thrilled to find a church that's got 10,000 members like the Times Square church has that's still on fire for God. That's so rare. And now is the time for us to seek God's face individually and as a group. If we do not do it now, there will not be another chance. Can America be turned around? Only way possible is if we repent. Well, you guarantee it's going to be turned around if we all repent? I'm not God, my friends. But I know He requires repentance before He can heal anything, including your individual life. And tomorrow the offer stands. If you want to talk to me tomorrow morning about salvation, about any time tomorrow you want to talk, I will hang up on everybody else that will talk to you about your soul. You don't have long distance, you can call me free from any phone on the street or anybody else's cell phone if you want to at 800-777-4403. You can call and talk to me tomorrow. I'll be honored to speak to you about your soul and what it means to be a born-again believer. We do not have a lot of time left. It's do or die right now. At the most, we have maybe a month and a half, 2 months. That's the outside. This is it, America. Repent or perish. This is it. And if your home is not solidly built upon the Word of God Almighty and covered with the blood of the Lamb, my God, only knows what's going to happen to your home and your family. If you're not built on the rock of Jesus Christ and your roots wrapped around that rock, the cornerstone of all man, all creation, all hell is going to be breaking out around you real soon. Meet off tomorrow if you want to talk to me, 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. God bless. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.